What should your aim be as a Christian? What should your aim be? Surely it is your sanctification. It is to become more like Christ in your character. It is to prepare your soul for heaven. And how do we grow spiritually? How do we become more like Christ? The answer is not complicated, because the Christian life is not complicated. And we find the answers in the passage we just read from Luke. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, down to Luke chapter 11, verse 4. What do we need to do? First, we need to listen to the Lord. Second, we need to speak to the Lord. We need to listen to what the Lord says through his word. And we need to speak to the Lord in prayer. These are the means of grace that God used to save you from your sins, if you think about it. You heard the word. You heard the call to repent and believe on Jesus. And how did you respond? By praying. By speaking to the Lord. Repenting of your sins and believing in Jesus. And these are the same means of grace that God uses to help you grow from being a babe in Christ to a mature believer. You hear the word that says, stop lying and start speaking the truth in love. So you do. And you turn to the Lord for help in prayer, and he gives help. These are the means God uses to prepare us for heaven. So let me ask you, are they a priority in your life? How much time do you spend listening to God and speaking to God? I'm sure that every day all of us have already eaten and drunk to nourish our body. But today, have you already eaten and drunk to nourish your soul? And if you don't do this every day, could this be why you are weak spiritually? Could this be why you struggle so much with certain sins? Could this be why you're so unhappy as a believer? Now, it's going to take us 2 Sundays, 2 weeks to look at these priorities, to listen to God and to speak to God. And this week we're going to look at listening to the Lord as we look at Luke 10, verses 38 down to 42. This is a personal and touching incident that's only recorded by Luke. And it makes a fitting follow-up to the parable of the Good Samaritan we looked at last week. That was about loving your neighbour. And this is about loving God. If you're married, what's one of the ways that you show love to your spouse? Well, one way is that you try to listen carefully to what they say. When they speak, you're all ears. And that is just one way that we show that we love God, that we listen to God, and then we obey what he says in his word. The mistake that Adam and Eve made was not to listen to God. Please don't make the same mistake. So are you ready to listen to God this morning? Are you ready to listen to what he says in his word? Then listen on. So the title of this sermon is Listening to the Lord. And our passage will teach us 4 lessons about ourselves and our relationship with God that all lead up to listening to God. First, we're going to see actually that we're all different. Secondly, we're going to see that we can all be distracted. Thirdly, we will see that we may all need rebuking. And fourth, we will see that we all must make the best choice. So first of all, we are all different. Look at verses 38 and 39 of Luke 10. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him, that's Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This touching story begins with Jesus coming to a certain village. Luke doesn't name the village, but we know from John it is the village of Bethany, close to Jerusalem. And Luke introduces two people, Martha and Mary. They were sisters, but that's in one sense when the similarity ends, because they're very different in their personality and character. Martha means mistress, that is, female head of a household. And that was true. Luke tells us that she owned her own home. It appears that either neither of them were married, or maybe they'd lost their husbands. But Martha owned her own home. And Martha was a woman who was full of action. She was not afraid to take the initiative. Notice how she went out to meet Jesus, and she invited Jesus to come into her home and make it as a base for his teaching. And she prepared food and drink for Jesus. And she was a woman who spoke her mind. She was not afraid to criticize her sister for not helping and to ask Jesus to make her help. And interestingly, we see a similar pattern in Luke, in John chapter 11, when Jesus comes to Mary's house in different circumstances. In John chapter 11, their brother, Lazarus, had died. And when Jesus arrives, though it is Martha again who goes out to meet Jesus, it is Martha who almost rebukes Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you had come earlier, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus ordered the tomb to be opened, it was Martha who questioned the command of Jesus. "Lord, by this time, it is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." So that's Martha. Now let's look at Mary. What a contrast. She didn't come out to welcome Jesus into their home. All we read is she simply sat at the feet of Jesus. And in Luke 11, we read that she remained in the home when Jesus arrived. In fact, she only left the home when she heard that Jesus was going to visit the tomb. And at the tomb, we again find her, yes, at the feet of Jesus. Speaking for the first time, she simply says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And finally, a few days later, in John chapter 12, we read that when Jesus is having another meal in Martha's house, the two sisters revert to type. Martha serves, but Mary is again at the feet of Jesus, this time anointing his feet with expensive oil. Two sisters, but two very different characters, very different personalities. How might we sum up Martha? She was active and headstrong and impulsive. She was not afraid to boldly speak her mind. And how might we sum up Mary? She was quiet and retiring, slow to speak. And when she did speak, she was mild and meek. Yet both were believers. Both honoured Jesus. Both called Jesus Lord. Both believed in his power to heal and to save. Both loved our Lord and showed him love. Grace reigned in both their hearts. Now here is the first lesson this morning. We must not expect all believers to be exactly the same. In that fact, I thank God that we're not. Just as all the plants in a garden are not the same, they have different colours, different sizes, but they're all plants and they all have beauty, so all believers are not the same. We have different characters and different peculiarities. Some like the outdoors. Some like to stay at home. Some people are people of action. Some like to sit quietly. Some are not afraid to speak their mind. Others prefer to say little or nothing. Yet all are led by the same Spirit. And there is room in God's house for a wide variety of personalities. And the church is richer for it. We see this in Paul's picture of the church. What does he say? He said we're like a body. And when he said we're like a body, he didn't mean that we're all an ear, or all a hand, or all the thumb. But we're all different. Somebody's the ear, somebody's the thumb, somebody's the foot. And so on. We're all different. And imagine if your body just consisted of feet. Imagine if it just consisted of ears. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It wouldn't be a body. So what is this teaching us about the priorities of Christian? It's teaching that your priority is not to change your basic personality. Sanctification, becoming more like Christ, is not about turning us all into the same person, into a robot. So we're identikits and we all look the same. The cults do that. Have you noticed how the Jehovah's Witnesses all dress similarly? It's quite interesting. They have a dress code. But my friends, we're all different. Sanctification is not turning us into the same person. You may be more like Martha, or you may be more like Mary. But God has made you that way. And parents, you need to recognize this too. Your children will have different personalities. We all know that, don't we? You may need to be gentle with a Mary, but you may need to be firm with a Martha. However, we all also need to remember that we all have one basic similarity in our character. We have a sinful nature. And this means that our personality can lead, our character can lead to wrong behaviour and wrong actions. And now we see this under our second point. We can all be distracted. Now picture the scene we have here in Luke 10. The Lord Jesus and probably the 12 disciples are in Martha's home. The day before, there have been Mary and Martha and presumably Lazarus. We don't know where Lazarus was, but let's say it's just Mary and Martha. And now it's gone from 2 people to 14 people. What a blessing! But what a house full. And Jesus begins to teach the disciples. Mary is all ears, but Martha is all action. There are 14 who need to sit somewhere. So Martha provides seating. There's 14 who maybe need to wash, so she provides basins and towels. There are 14 who need a drink, so she provides them a drink. There are 14 who need food, so she prepares and brings food for them all. She is in and out. She's like a busy bee, bzzz, all over the place. And there's Jesus teaching. And there's Mary sitting there. And Martha, bzzz, all around the room. Now, what was the result? Well, verse 40 should not surprise us. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving. She was distracted. The word literally means to be dragged away. It meant that she was thinking of nothing else but washing, drinking, and eating. And yet here before her was the Son of God, her Saviour, speaking. But she hardly heard a word of what he said. Her excessive zeal to be doing something led her to fail to take advantage of a much greater good, hearing the teaching of Christ. Now, Martha was particularly susceptible to this temptation because of her character and personality. Her strength, a woman of action, became her weakness. Her strength in serving others led to her not serving her own soul. Now, this is a particular temptation to anyone who has organizational or leadership skills. Here is somebody who organizes a meeting in the church, and they set out the chairs and they arrange the flowers, prepare the drinks. Then all through the meeting, they're thinking about what they forgot to do rather than listening to the speaker. She was distracted. But don't just think the Marthas of the world can be distracted. So can the Marys of this world. Yes, they can. People who are more introspective and reflective. And we see an example of this in the next incident involving Mary and Martha, which is recorded in John chapter 11. You might just want to turn to John chapter 11. It's on page 951. So this took place sometime later. And the situation in John 11 is that sadly the brother of Mary and Martha, Lazarus, has died. So what do we read Martha and Mary do? What do we read they do when Jesus arrives? Look at verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Martha goes to see Jesus, but Mary does not. Why not? Because I think she was so overtaken with grief that it distracted her. All she could think about was the death of her brother. It so consumed her that even the arrival of Jesus did not stir her. And what was the result of her being so overtaken with grief? She missed a blessing from the Lord Jesus. She missed Jesus saying what he said to Martha in John 11, 25 and 26. Some of the most wonderful words ever spoken by the Saviour. Listen to them. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Those who are like Mary in temperament can allow the trials of life to so overwhelm them that they lose sight of the Saviour and listening to the Saviour. They forget that the Lord can help them in their trial and grief. Now, my friends, whether you're like Martha, or you're like Mary, or maybe somewhere in the middle, there is a warning for us all. If you desire to grow in grace, if you desire to become more like Christ in character, if you want to get ready for heaven, do not let the cares of this world, the cares of what we eat and drink, the cares of what we wear, distract you. Because it's a real danger. It seems so proper for Martha to provide food and drink for her guests. It seems so proper for Mary to mourn alone for her brother. But this is where the danger lies. Our families, our work, our household affairs, even our church matters can become such a snare, they can draw us away from God, from hearing what God has to say to us. And that is why nothing but unavoidable circumstances should come between you and hearing the word of God, between us and listening to the word of God. Now that brings us to our third point this morning. We may all need rebuking. Go back to Luke and chapter 10. Martha's misguided priorities finally cause us to lose the joy of serving. Isn't that interesting? She probably started off really enjoying serving them all, but now she loses that joy. As Martha served and served, then her conscience troubled her. She realized she was missing out on hearing the teaching of the Lord. But instead of just stopping, saying, I'm going to stop now, I'm going to stop serving, they've had something to drink, they've got somewhere to sit, they've had something to eat, I'm going to stop and listen to Jesus. Instead of stopping, what does she do? She allows frustration to well up in her heart. And she goes over to Jesus and therefore interrupts him teaching. Think about that. Interrupts Jesus in effect and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. Now, although she humbly calls Jesus Lord, she dares to tell Jesus what he should do. Don't you care, Lord, that I'm so busy serving at all? Tell my sister to help me. But of course, Jesus has none of it. He rebukes her, but oh, so gently. Oh, so gently. Look at verses 41 and the beginning of verse 42. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Jesus is saying, I know you're worried about many things, about food and about drink for your guests, but there's only one thing you should be worried about at the moment, and that is not serving us. There's something far more important. Now, we'll think about that one thing in a moment. But I want you to grasp that sometimes we all need a rebuke. All of us need to hear a word that challenges us about what are the priorities in our life. Studying for degrees and working hard for careers, marriage and children, health and wealth all have their place, but they must not, in a Christian, have the priority. They should never distract us from our priority to become more like Christ in our character. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. And sometimes degrees and careers, marriage and children, health and wealth cause us great trouble and difficulty. But we should never let that trouble distract us from our main priority, to grow in our sanctification, to become more like Christ in character. Do you need a rebuke from the Lord? Are the priorities in your life wrong? Have you allowed something else to become more important in your life, so important that it distracts you from your greatest priority, to become more like Christ? Has it got in the way of you listening to the word, as we'll think about in a moment? Is it your job? Is it your financial situation? Is it your family? Is it your hobby? Is it your sport? Or is it simply that game on your computer? Is the Lord saying to you now, Christian, dear Christian, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. One thing is needed. If you remember nothing else from this sermon, remember that. One thing is needed. The longer you live in this world, the more this one thing is needed. And what is this one thing? What is the good choice, the best choice to make in your life as a Christian? And this brings us to our final point. We must all make the best choice. What was the one thing that was needed? Look at verse 42. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. The one thing needed is what Mary chose to do. She chose the good part. And what was that good part? It was to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. And Jesus was not going to tell her to stop doing that, to stop sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was not going to tell her to do that. Because Mary here is demonstrating the attitude of the true Christian. Turn back to Luke chapter 8, verse 21, just a couple of pages. We looked at this verse a few weeks ago. Luke 8, 21. What did Jesus say? My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And that's what Mary was doing, hearing literally the word of God, speaking the word of God. Later on in Luke 11, verse 28, just turn over the back of the page. What does Jesus say? Luke 11, 28. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonian Christians, knew that their faith was genuine because they welcomed the word of God, not as the word of man, but as the truth, the word of God. So this little incident, this touching incident, illustrates that the supreme priority of believers is to hear the revealed word of God that we find in the Bible. It is foundation to all other spiritual duties, like spiritual growth, prayer, worship, and service. Because, my friends, where do you learn about how to pray? In the Word of God, the Bible. Where do you learn how to worship? In the Word of God, in the Bible. Where do you learn how to serve? In the Word of God, in the Bible. Where do you find out about the kind of spiritual graces you should be seeking to develop in your Christian character? In the Word of God, in the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit. So let me be clear. No spiritual discipline is more important than taking in the Word of God, both by reading it and by hearing it faithfully preached. There is no substitute for it. None at all. And if you meet a healthy, growing Christian, you will find that they have a healthy love and passion for the Word of God. And the reasons are obvious. There are many vital truths that you'll only find out in the Bible, aren't there? The Bible tells us about God and about His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us how the world was created and what went wrong. The Bible reveals the law of God and shows that we've all broken it. The Bible reveals how we all deserve to be judged and sent to hell because of our sin. The Bible reveals how God has planned a way for us to have our sins forgiven. How Jesus came into the world and died on the cross, having lived a perfect life to save us. And the Bible tells us how to be saved by repenting and believing in Jesus. And the Bible tells us how to grow spiritually, how to love more, how to have more joy, more peace, more goodness, more kindness. And it is now here today in the Bible that it's revealed through this passage that the best choice we can make is to give priority to taking in the Word of God. So what portion of the word should we read? And what portion of the word should be here taught? All of it. All of the scriptures. Every book and every chapter are important. Every book and every chapter can teach us. This is confirmed by one of the most famous verses about the power of the word in 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy 3. It's on page 1057. 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. It's on page 1057. All scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good word. We need the whole Bible and only the Bible. It's all here, everything we need to know. It's one of the reasons we don't need prophets today, like Elijah. Well, there are no prophets. The word of God is complete. Now, it's true that we need God's help to understand the Word of God. We need the work of the Holy Spirit, it is true. Turn back, for instance, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's on page 1013. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We're told this sobering truth. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the mature man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the word. But we can't command the work of the Holy Spirit. He blows where he wishes. Instead, we must play our part and do what Mary did and give priority to taking in the word of God. If you don't take in the word of God, you won't be saved. And if you don't take in the word of God, you will not grow as a Christian. Full stop. Because that's what God calls us to do. Now, how can we do this? Well, let me give you some suggestions. These are suggestions, not commands. My first suggestion is this. From this day, commit yourself every day for the rest of your life to sit at the feet of Jesus and read the word of God. In fact, ideally, commit yourself to making this the very first thing you do in the morning, before even getting washed and dressed and having breakfast. If that's possible, it may not be possible. It's just a suggestion. Make it the first thing to take in the word of God. And from today, this very day, commit yourself to read all of the word of God, not just the books you like. Are there books that you've never read? Then read them. I don't want you to be embarrassed when you get to heaven. And you arrive in heaven and you're walking down the streets of gold and you bump into a man. And you say, "What's your name?" And he says, "My name's Obadiah." "Oh, how nice to meet you. Are you the Obadiah that wrote the book in the Bible?" "Yes," he says. "What did you think of my book?" And you say, "I never read it." That would be sad, wouldn't it? It's there for a reason. Have you read Obadiah? My friends, secondly, from this day, commit yourself that every Lord's Day you will attend a faithful church to hear the word of God. And only unavoidable circumstances like poor health or your car breaking down or something prevents you. Because this is the good part that the Lord commends. Neither your work nor your family should come between you and the word of God. Let me say that again. Neither your work nor your family should come between you and the word of God. This is the good part. What about if you go on holiday, you may say? Well, if there's not a church there, take a sermon to listen to. We can provide you, ask Paula, we can provide you with previous sermons in this church. Or find a faithful preacher online. Or take a book of sermons to read. Read the Bible and read a sermon. And what about if you're ill and it's too difficult to read? Then when somebody comes to visit, say, "Please read the word of God to me. Please read a beautiful psalm." And by the way, when you visit somebody who's ill, offer to do that. Take your Bible with you. Read the word of God. I've lost count of the times that it's been a blessing to me when I've been beside the bed of somebody who's dying. And do you know what gives them greatest comfort? Is to hear the word of God. And then we pray. That's next week. For my part, my friends, I commit as long as the Lord spares me on Wednesdays and Sundays to teach you from all of the Bible, old and new, the prophets and the letters, the law and the gospel. And what happens if you do this? If you give priority to the word of God, I believe the Lord will bless you. Your faith will grow. Your spiritual understanding will increase. You will flourish like a Christian. And when trials come upon you, you will be better able to cope with them. When death approaches, you will be able to look death in the eye and say, "You hold no fear for me." And when you lose your job or you lose a loved one, you're able to cope with it. And why can I be so sure of this? Because this is what the Word of God promises. Let's read again the first few verses of that beautiful psalm we began the service with. Do you remember what it was? Psalm 1. Turn to Psalm 1. It's on page 481. And I haven't time to explain this, but it's very significant. This is the first psalm. Very important psalm. And look what the psalmist says. I believe it's David. He says this. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. Here is the blessedness of the person who gives priority to the word of God. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you give priority to listening to the word of God, you'll be like a tree that is planted right next to a free-flowing river. And that tree never runs dry. It just grows and grows and grows. And you will grow. And you will grow and become more like Christ. And you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So my friends, now you have the first answer as to how to grow as a Christian. Now you have the first answer as to what should be and must be a priority in your life. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God as it is read and preached. Listen and act upon it. Listen and be changed by it. Listen and become more like Christ through it. Will you choose the good part? Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking in every word? Amen. Well, let's turn to a hymn now. It's hymn number 674, a hymn of response to the word of God, saying that we need the Lord every hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour, I come to thee. 674.